Amen. Let's give our worship to the Lord. That goes along wonderfully with what I'm going to preach today. Praise God. Why don't you take your Bibles today and turn to the book of Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, Brother Tayo, all these are on that PowerPoint, so you have it easy today. Romans chapter 4, and then after we're done reading that, why don't you flip to the opening screen, Brother Tayo. We'll read the scripture, and then go to the second screen there if I'd appreciate it. Romans chapter 4, verses 20 through 21. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word of the Lord. We're honoring God. And Brother Rick, why don't you come? I'd ask you to pray and ask the blessing of the Lord upon the preaching of the word. Verse 20, Abraham staggered not. Well, it says he, but it's talking about Abraham. Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Amen. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to also perform. Amen. And with the help of the Lord today, Brother Rick, why don't you come on up here? I want to preach to you for just a little while about the journey of faith. Everybody say the journey of faith. Amen. Why don't you pray for me, Brother Rick, and ask the blessing of the Lord.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your visitation today, Lord. But Father, we ask you to fill our heart with your goodness, Lord. Feed us today by your word through your manservant, Lord. Anoint him afresh. Let the word that come out of his lips today, Lord, be the word from your heart, Father, that will bless the heart of the hearer today. And it will be received gladly, Lord, with joy unspeakable in their lives, O Lord, Father. Let your peace prevail today, Father, I pray. And bless each and every heart as we prepare, Lord, to be fed from you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Before we go too far into this message today, let me tell you what faith is not. Faith is not the feeling that prayer is going to be answered. Come on. Faith is not, doesn't have anything to do with it. We can feel like that God has spoken to us and told us, and we'll get into that later on. But faith itself has absolutely nothing to do with the way you feel. Faith has not the slightest relationship with feelings or even with the way things look. Amen. Things may not look good. That doesn't affect faith. It may seem like everything's going wrong. That doesn't affect faith. Anyone who lets their feelings direct them will never develop unwavering faith. You can come to a place in God where you can look at your mountain and you can have unwavering faith that your mountain is going to be moved. Until you develop the ability to stop letting your feelings be in charge, you cannot develop unwavering faith because our feelings fluctuate. I don't know about you. Sometimes I wake up in a good mood, and sometimes my wife says I'm a bear. But I know nobody else is like that. Everybody always wakes up in a good mood. No, we're people. Our feelings are going to fluctuate. From day to day, our feelings are going to roll to and roll fro. Our feelings are going to rise and our feelings are going to fall. But let me tell you something. God's word is never going to change. Amen? Unwavering faith can be developed over time. That's why I titled this today, The Journey of Faith. Let me read to you specifically from the King James Version, Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. It tells us, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed Well, how? From faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. As you live for God, you find that because of the experiences you have in little faith. Anybody ever feel like if you've been living for God for a long time, as I have been living for God now, this is beginning of my 31st year, probably living for the Lord. I went through things when I was young in the Lord that brought me to the place where I could not live like I am living now when I first came to live for God, because God has brought me from faith to faith. God will bring you to the place where you know that you can depend upon Him in the little things. Over the years, you're going to find that your faith will begin. And some people, doesn't take that many years. Your faith will begin to grow because He starts bringing you through bigger things. You sit there and say, well, you know, I got this little victory here. My life is going to be a bed of roses. Oh, no, there's bigger things that are coming. What do you think? David went out, and the Bible tells us that he slew the bear and the lion. Amen. What was he preparing for? He was preparing for a guy named Goliath. And the Bible says, how many stones did he have in his sack? 5 stones, 1 for Goliath and 4 of them for his brothers. He was not going to let himself be deterred because he had the faith at that point that my God can do anything. When you go through difficulties and you go through troubles and you go through trials, there's something that develops inside of you that says, I can believe God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Finally, you're going to come to the place, if you allow God, He will bring you to the place of unwavering faith. And that's a good definition of what it means to go from faith to faith. Just a little bit of a stepping stone from here to there, a little bit more. Faith asks you. Now, some people got a problem with faith, because faith will ask you by its very definition to be illogical. Come on. I'm going to tell you something. Faith don't make sense. You can look at a situation that logically, Brother Soon, there is no answer for, and receive an answer because of faith. Because you have developed an ability to believe God. And there's a key right there. I'm not talking about a name it and claim it, blab it and grab it type of thing where you say, you know what, I think I'm going to believe God today that tomorrow I'm going to get a Mercedes. No. I'm talking about you can believe God because you got a relationship with God. God spoke some things into your heart. He told you some things are going to come to pass, and you develop an unwavering faith that if God said it, I believe it, and it's going to come to pass. Let me give you an example or two, just an example or two. The creation operates, does it not, in a logical order? You can find Einstein's theory and all these crazy things. Man is still trying to understand the logic of how the creation operates. Every time they think they understand it, they find some more they don't understand. But they are finding that the logic behind the ways that creation operates, they're finding it out slowly but surely. But the way that the creation was created defies logic. How is it possible that God could speak and the worlds come into existence? And I used to think, well, no, maybe that, you know, they talk about this Big Bang, and you know, I don't necessarily think that's true. I don't know. You know, I really don't know. I wasn't there, but I know something. When God speaks, things happen. He could have made the universe just blow out of nothingness. Amen. It's not logical, or at least our version of logic. Faith asks that we believe beyond what we understand. And as faith increases because of the hand of God that brings us from faith to faith, our understanding of the incomprehensible will also increase. Let's face it, like I said to many, The simple idea of faith is just simply incomprehensible to them. How can you believe in something you can't see? Oh, friend of mine, let me tell you, I may not be able to see God, but I can feel God. May not be able to see God, but one day he touched me at an altar and he delivered me from my sins. One day I went to the altar and I got baptized in the name of Jesus. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. I've got an experience. And when you come to me and say, it's just illogical, I can sit back and I can laugh at you because I understand it may be illogical, but I've come into a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's changed my life. He's done some things for me. And just as he's done for me, if you will seek his face, I promise you he will do the same for you. You've got to realize that faith is a conduit by which God operates. Let me give you some true meanings of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Are you telling me that faith is the substance of something that doesn't exist? If God spoke this world into nothing and from nothingness, don't you think he can speak to your situation and speak something out of nothingness and change your situation in the twinkling of an eye? Faith is counting him faithful who promised, not us faithful. People have a severe misunderstanding of faith today. The scripture said Sarah judged him faithful who had promised. Faith believes that God is able. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. What do you mean you're going to offer up your firstborn only son? That don't make no sense to me. That's illogical. Yet God said to do it. But Abraham in his heart said, I know that God's not going to do it. He's just testing me. He's just trying me. And it says, accounting that God was able to raise him up should he slay him. There was nothing that was going to hinder God from raising him from the dead. Even from the dead, it says, from whence also he received him in a figure. James chapter 6, chapter 1, excuse me, verses 6 through 7. Faith is to ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavereth, the scripture says, is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. I'm going to get into why. Unless God says no, faith believes while the answer is on its way. This is very important. There's times that you pray and the Lord will speak to you and say, ain't going to happen. You might as well just chalk it up and forget about it. Sometimes we pray and God don't say nothing. What happens then? Just hang on. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Strong faith, unwavering faith, comes when that rhema word of God gives you a word because you heard from God. You are able to stand upon that word. Some have little faith because they have little relationship with God. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? The rhema word of God, and some of our folks have heard me say this. It bears repeating because it's so true. In the English language, there's two words for word. When it uses the word of God in the Bible, it can be one of two words. Brother Dwight, it can be the logos or it can be the rhema word of God. The logos word of God is this thing that's written. That's found right in here. It's found right in the Bible. If you've got a promise that's written in the word of God, you don't even have to pray about it. You can just say, God, I accept it. Come on, amen. But there's that thing that comes when you pray. And that's the living word of God. And the example that I've used in the past is when Jesus went to Peter and Peter was fishing. He was fished all night and he caught no fish, just like the Sunday school song says. But Jesus came to him and he said, cast your net on the other side. And Peter said, we fished all night, but we caught no fish. Nevertheless, at thy word. His faith said, I choose to believe the living word of God. I choose to believe the rhema word of God. There's sometimes that you pray and God will talk to you and God will direct you. He'll give you a promise and he'll say there's some things going to come to pass, but you'll never come to that place unless you do the first thing, which is find a place to pray, develop a relationship with God. So many people have a problem with faith because they're not communicating with the one who created faith. They're not communicating with the God of creation, because when the God of creation chooses to speak something into existence, there's nothing that's going to hinder that. Let me tell you a little more just about some different kinds of faith. Weak faith, strong faith, little faith, great faith, unfeigned faith, or it's not fake. You know what? There's one thing that I can't stand is fake, phony frauds. These people that get up there say, I've got great faith, and all they're trying to do is hype you. That's feigned faith. There's an unfeigned faith. There's a temporary faith. Did you know you could have faith just temporary? Historical faith. That's what Mary had, did she not, when she went to Jesus and Lazarus died? And Jesus said, he's going to live again. And she said, I know, if you had just been here. She was having faith in history. And he said, don't worry, he's going to come back. And she was like, oh, I know. In the resurrection, she was having future faith. But she found out something. He wasn't the I was, and he wasn't the I could be. He was the I am. He's the God of right now. I'm telling you, saint of God, God can work in your situation right now. If you will just respond to the Lord, develop that relationship with God, let him speak some things into you, you're going to find your life's a whole lot easier. We got all these people running around, and they get in their own spirit. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. I'm going to follow. This is why I make notes, because sometimes I get ahead of myself, and I act like a shotgun. Praise God. Think about temporary faith. Luke chapter 8 and verse 13. We find this kind of faith illustrated. They on the rock are they, which when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and they have no root. For a while they believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. I told you can have temporary faith. I've seen a lot of people have temporary faith. Why? Because they never develop a root. This reminds us of Peter before he received the Holy Ghost. He thought he could die with the Lord. But what happened? Jesus said, ain't going to happen, Peter. The cock is going to crow three times. You're going to deny me. And Peter said, no, it ain't going to happen, Lord. I'm never going to deny you. They came to him and said, are you one of them? And he said, no, I'm not one of them. Are you one of them? No, I'm not one of them. Are you one of them? And the third time, the Bible says he cursed them. He denied the Lord. He thought he could walk on water. But when he saw the winds and the waves, what happened? His faith was only temporary. And that's what happens to us sometimes. We get in the situations of life and things happen and we begin to sink because we just, something in us, the faith is temporary. When instead of sinking, you just need to sit there and say, I believe the promises of God. I believe that he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I can ask or think. My God, don't even break a sweat when he brings something to pass. Some of us receive challenges to our own faith. And perhaps some of us struggle with our faith to the point where perhaps they even have lost faith and exist as a mere shell of what they used to be. I've got a great word for you today. If you feel like that you don't have the faith that you used to be, that maybe you're shipwrecked, Jesus told Peter, he took him back. I don't know if you realize this, but while Peter lost his faith, God didn't condemn him. He took him into his arms. Peter cried. See, Peter, the Bible says, with tears. It doesn't say he ever said to Jesus, I repent, but with tears. He repented because tears are a language that God understands. You may not even have to say a word, but sometimes you may just feel those tears begin to come over you. You may feel the grief. You may feel the repentance. It's just time to respond to the Lord. The great word I have for you today is, while Peter may have lost his faith, Peter may have denied the Lord. You know, there was even a place where Jesus called Peter Satan. He developed unwavering faith. In our text scripture in Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, it says, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. Now, I want to put, Brother Tyler, there's a Greek transliteration up there on the next slide, and I'd like you to put that up for me, if you would. You've got it, man. He's good. Hallelujah. At the promise of God not, he staggered. You see that word through is underlined by 9999, which means that the translators added it there. It wasn't in the original. It's okay if it's there. It's okay if it's not. He staggered through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now leave that up there for a couple of minutes, Brother Tayo, because I want you to follow me very closely on this. I want you to think about it. At the promise of God not, he staggered through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, if you take this thought with you to the next scripture we're going to read, it will now make perfect sense to you. At the promise of God not, in other words, at the point of not receiving the promise, he staggered, or he struggled with unbelief, but he was strong in faith. You see the difference there in the wording there? It's seemingly a contradiction. How can you struggle with unbelief and still be strong in the faith? Well, let's go to Genesis chapter 15, the first six verses. Here we find, this is 10 years. God gave Abraham a promise, said he was going to be the father of many nations. His seed was going to bless the earth. It was going to be like the stars of heaven, the sea, the sand of the sea. And 10 years later now we come up, and Abraham had some time to think about it and say, you know, God, it's been a long time since you promised me that thing, and it's not come to pass. He was beginning to stagger at unbelief. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, said, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield. I am your very great reward. What did Abraham say? Oh, God, I'm so glad you're here. No, he didn't say that. He said, What are you going to do for me, seeing that I haven't received my promise? You see what I'm talking about? At the promise of God not, at not receiving the promise of God, he struggled with unbelief. It's better in the Greek the way it is up there. And, oh, isn't God so good? Abraham looks at him and says, what are you able to do? It's been 10 years now. It doesn't say 10 years, but it was 10 years. What are you able to do for me, God? You gave me a promise. You don't even have the power to fulfill what you said you was going to do. Isn't that basically what he told God? Really? Yet Abraham is called the father of the faithful. Abraham is referred to over and over in the Word of God as a great man of faith. Yet he came to a place, because he had not yet seen the promises of God, that he began to stumble a little bit. Can I really believe God? If any of you ever been in that place where God has told you some things are going to come to pass, and you begin to stagger a little bit, you begin to stumble a little bit, I'm here to tell you, you're not alone. And there's somebody going to receive some renewing. Something's going to happen in this service today. You mark my words, you may not see it, but something's going to happen in this service today. Because God didn't look at Abraham and say, you're low down, you no good, you don't even have the power to believe my promises. Instead, Brother Sabas, he took him out and said, come on, I want to take you outside. And I want to show you again. I want to renew with you the promise. And it really wasn't kind of like that. It did happen like that. But if you read the scripture, it tells us that the word of the Lord came to Abraham. The word of the Lord came to Abraham. In other words, God spoke the promise into Abraham's life one more time after Abraham had lost his hope of ever seeing the promise fulfilled, ever seeing God do anything in his life, ever seeing things begin to come to pass. And the Lord was just telling him, just hang on, my friend, because I've got some things that are going to come to pass in your life. I've got some promises that are going to come to. God has spoken to you, some of you, and God has given you a promise, and you're struggling with your faith right now. You're staggering at faith right now, saying, I don't know if it's ever going to come to pass, but God is going to renew your vision today. God is going to reach down. He's going to touch you with the Holy Ghost and say, I know where you are. And when the Lord came to him with another word, he readily received the word of the Lord. It doesn't say what he was doing in Genesis 15 and 1 when he received that word of the Lord. Well, it doesn't say this, it only makes sense from the implications that Abraham didn't lose faith in God. He lost faith in the promise of God. And this is where people mess up when they are staggering through unbelief. Every one of us is going to face some kind of test like that in our life, some kind of difficulty like that in our life. I'm telling you that God, the night I got the Holy Ghost, God called me to preach, and I knew that I was going to be ministering the word of the Lord. God called me to start a church. I did not find that place until 22 years later. Don't you think I stumbled at the word a little bit? I struggled with unbelief just a little bit, but I just kept saying, God, you gave me a promise, and Lord, I'm just going to keep sticking with you, God, and I'm going to do what I can do to see the promise of God fulfilled in my life. I may have been imperfect in many ways in my life, but one thing I did do, I was strong in faith. I was not going to unbelieve God. When God spoke to me and told me it was time to build a church, I told him, you know what, you got some bad timing, God, but I think I'm going to go ahead and do it, because you cannot go wrong with hearing the voice of the Lord. Sometimes I have not been happy. I worked for a total of 23 years at a job that, especially in the later years of my life, I despised it. Yet I would go home and say, thank you, Lord, that I can support my family. Thank you, Lord, that I can support my wife. You see, I may not have wanted to do what I was doing, but I made a promise to that little lady over there on December 20th, 1980, and said, for richer or poorer, for sickness, for health, that I was going to take care of her, that I was going to take care of my family. And I was man enough to say, okay, I may not like what I'm doing. I may not be a happy camper here right now, but I've got a wife and I've got a family, and I'm going to fulfill that promise. You see, marriage is not unlike faith. Not unlike it at all. As the modern vernacular is, I manned up. You know, you heard that? People say, well, come on and man up. Well, won't you man up? Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But I can tell you right now that I am quite happy being in the will of God. 4.5 years ago, God spoke to me on 7 years from retirement. You would think that the Lord would, you know, maybe do this a little earlier, but 7 years from being able to retire, being able to have a little comfort, be able to have a little security, God speaks to me and says, it's time to quit your job. Brother Soon and Brother Rick know how much I struggled with that. I wanted to fast and pray and seek the Lord and make sure I heard from the voice of God, because I did not want to make a mistake. And friend, this is what faith is all about. You have got to hear from God. I could not make up something like that, Brother Sabas, and succeed. But when you hear from God, it doesn't matter what kind of obstacles come your way. It doesn't matter what kind of difficulties come your way. It's going to come to pass if you will just stand upon the promises of God. Sometimes the Lord gives you a rhema word of God. He will speak to you and say, I'm going to bring this to pass. You have the ability then to say, I believe the Lord. I've got faith. The scripture doesn't speak much about Abraham praying. Go ahead and look it up. But it does say quite a bit more that Abraham went here and he built an altar. Abraham went there and he built an altar. I want to issue a challenge today for those that feel that you don't have any faith, that you've lost your faith, that you're far from God. Build some altars in your life. You may not feel a thing when you pray, but guess what? You don't have to feel anything when you pray. I mean, I love it. Sometimes I come and I pray, especially I like to be here alone sometimes. Early in the morning, I don't want anybody else with me. I'll come here early, and sometimes the Holy Ghost will just begin to move on me, and the Spirit of the Lord. I love those times. I love it when I can feel God. I love it when I can feel the presence of the Lord. Sometimes I don't feel anything. I'm just down here saying, hey, God, are you there? But I realize that faith says it doesn't matter whether I feel anything or I don't feel anything, because God ain't moved. God's not gone on vacation. He's not got an ear heavy that he cannot hear, a hand heavy that he cannot save. My God's still in the same place, and all I've got to do is just simply believe the promises of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 and 33, the chapter of faith. What more shall I say? For the time would fail for me to tell you about Gideon and Barak, not Obama, I'm afraid, and Samson, and Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the real prophets. You know, they had a bunch of phony balonies running around their world too. Can I get a witness? Amen. What did they do? Who, through faith, obtained promises. Well, it also says they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they stopped the mouth of lions and a whole bunch of other things. But what I wanted to point out to you is there's some people here, you've got a promise from God. You feel like some things are going to come to pass. What do? Through faith, obtain your promises. Through faith, say, I don't care what the situation looks like. Through faith, I can say it just doesn't seem like it's even possible. It's illogical for me to believe God. Through faith. Just believe that God has promised and God is able to do exactly what he promised when his time. The promises of God, as I said before, come two ways. In the Logos and in the Rhema. For example, concerning the promise of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2, 38 and 39. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. I'm sorry, but baptism is not being baptized to join a church. You're born into this church. And he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For what? The what? The promise. Everybody shout the promise. It's to you. It's your children. It's all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I'm going to tell you right there, you don't need to pray about the Holy Ghost and say, God is the Holy Ghost for me. You can stand upon the word of God and say, God, you promised it, and you said I could have it. You said the promise is unto you. It's to your children. That's me. You don't need no word from God. Just stand up and receive it from the Lord. He said, in the last days, Brother Etienne, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Are you not all flesh? Are you made out of stone? Are you made out of something else? No, you're flesh, my friend. And the promise of the Holy Ghost is for you today, too. Now, you can't make up, and I don't want to skip this because this is where I said I wasn't going to get off of my track. You can't make up a rhema word of God. I don't care how much that you want God to do something. You can't make up that God told you to do something when God didn't tell you to do it. Come on. Ezekiel, chapter 13 and verse 3. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets. They follow my spirit? No. Says they follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. I'm telling you, the world is full of these kind of guys today. They're not following God. They're following their own spirit. We've got a lot of people today that say you can claim your healing. But Paul gave us the proper way to claim your healing. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. You see, I hate to tell you this, and you may not agree with me. If you don't agree with me, I reserve the right for you to be wrong. That's okay. You don't claim your healing in a moment of emotion. I want you to think about something. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. You said, well, he's just being tormented by demons. No, you just read on. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take this away from me. But he said, I'm going to paraphrase. He said, no. He said, no. He said, no. Therefore will I boast all the more gladly about, the King James actually says, my infirmities, my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. There's a lot of speculation what Paul was talking about here. But he's talking about infirmities and weaknesses, so it was some kind of physical ailment that he had. The scripture says three times in the King James Version, he sought the Lord. But the word of the Lord, that rhema word of God I spoke to you about, told Paul, no. He said, well, Pastor, that's not very encouraging for me. Has God told you no? I want the big light bulb to pop on somewhere. If God didn't tell you no, there's still hope. Are you hearing me today? What had happened if the Lord told Paul yes? Paul could have then began to claim his healing. And you say, wouldn't he be healed immediately? Not necessarily. Because sometimes you have to have faith. To what? Obtain the promise. He may have been healed immediately. He may not have been healed immediately. We don't know because God told him, I'm not going to heal you. Now, sometimes God will move in a sovereign way. Brother Rick, were you there the day that Sister Catherine got healed? Do you remember that service? He will attest to this. We were preaching. Brother Ramirez, Pastor Ramirez and myself. We're preaching and leading service. Nobody prayed for this woman. in the middle of service, she walked with a cane all the time I'd known her because she was full of pain. And all the time I knew her, she couldn't walk. And she shoots up out of her seat and shouts out, "I feel no pain." She threw away her cane. She bought a car. She drove all over the country. It was amazing. Sometime later, you'd have to know, Sister Catherine, if you ever understood what a pack rat is, you've never seen a pack rat till you've seen Sister Catherine. And a big bookcase fell over and re-injured her. And we were after her for ages. "Sister Catherine, let us help you with this place. She wouldn't listen. She got re-injured. And she got back on her cane. Maybe if she had listened, she wouldn't be like that today. Because I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. There was a woman that could not walk properly because she was full of pain. She couldn't get by without a cane. Brother Soon, were you there? Were you there? I can't see. I don't have my glasses on. Praise the Lord. Were you there that day, Brother Soon? Do you remember what I'm talking? You weren't there that day. Brother Rick was there that day. Sister Vina was still in Trinidad. I saw that. I was amazed. It was a sovereign move of God. But I really have no doubt that Sister Catherine had sought the Lord for quite a while, and for whatever reason, God chose then and there to heal her. It may be today that you've been seeking God for a problem, or you've been seeking God for a healing, and you know what? He hasn't told you what he told Paul. He hasn't told you no. He hasn't told you that he's not going to heal you. It would have done Paul no good to pray for his healing anymore because God told him he was afflicted, and so he didn't get conceited. God had a purpose in his affliction. Many would today, they'd call Noah a loser because Noah could only save 8 people. How many would rebuke Paul because he didn't override what God told him by his faith? He didn't stand up and say, "God, I rebuke you. I claim my healing." You know what? Unless God tells you he's going to heal you, unless God doesn't tell you, you can't rebuke God. If God says no, you can tell God all the time you want that, "Hey, God, you got to change your mind." I very seriously doubt God's going to change his mind. But if God is silent, if God doesn't answer that prayer, if God says yes, I'm going to tell you something that you can believe that he's able to do what you're praying about. He's able to heal you. He's able to lift you up. He's able to change some things in your life. He's able to save your children. He's able to change your job. He's able to bring some things to pass in your life. Galatians 2:20 and 21, this last scripture. "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, Brother Torres, but Christ lives in me. And how am I living? The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. This life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Because the Son that is living, the Rhema Word of God, is there." And unlike Paul, if God has not told you that he's not going to heal you, you can stand and ask him today, "Lord, is today the day? I really can't claim it, but God, you haven't said you're not going to do it. So God, is today the day that in your sovereign will, in your sovereign move, in the way that you work, God, I don't know, you're not logical to me sometimes, God. I don't understand the way that you work, God. But God, is today the day that you've chosen to reach down and touch my body?" You may be praying for a spouse. You may be praying for a child. You may be praying to somebody very special for you, and God hasn't told you, I'm not going to save them. Unlike Paul, though, you have no rhema word. It doesn't say that he's not going to do something. Why don't you stand with me? Why doesn't everybody stand with me? If you've got that kind of situation, why don't you just begin to talk to the Lord and say, God, is this the day that you have chosen? If you need a healing in your body, God, is this the day that you've chosen? You haven't told me no, God. You haven't told me yes, Lord. And until you tell me no, I'm going to keep praying and I'm going to keep seeking your face. But today, Lord, is today the day. You may be facing serious financial challenges today. And we do not believe that God is an ATM machine, but we believe that he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. He's the one that can bring change when there seems to be no way for things to change. And unlike Paul, he hasn't told you, no, I'm not going to change your situation. No, I'm not going to bless you. He hasn't told you that. You can stand up today and say, God, is today the day? I want to give God some chance. Kind of let it sink in a little bit. If you're hearing what I'm saying, it's time to ask the Lord. And Brother Rick, you can go ahead and come. Is this the day, God, you've chosen to change things? That's the great thing about God. He's God. If you've got emotional issues, God can heal you right now. Right now. Right now. If you've got physical ailment, you've got things that you've been struggling with and you've been praying and you just hear nothing from God, he can do it. He can do it right now. He can choose in his will. You may have said, I've prayed about something and God told me he's going to heal me. You know what? You can claim that healing. You have a right to claim that healing. You're not speaking out of your own spirit. You're not speaking about your own way and the things that you want to do. You've sought the Lord. You've prayed. You've said, God, would you help me? And the Lord says, I heard you. Oh, God, help us today. I feel like there's some folks here in this house. You've been seeking the Lord. It hasn't come to pass. Could be for a varied reasons. Could be healing. Could be loved ones. Could be job. Could be things I haven't even talked about. And you've taught the Lord, and God hasn't said, I'm not going to do it. He just hasn't said anything. What do? You begin to earnestly begin to seek the Lord one more time. You see, the Bible tells us about a man that for 38 years, the angel would stir the water and he would never get in there. The first one to get in there would receive the healing. The waters of the, can I get a witness? I feel the Holy Ghost here today. The waters of the church are stirred. It's up to you to get in the water. That's where your faith comes in. You may feel like that you've had temporary faith and your faith has failed you. Well, you failed your faith, but so did Peter. God can restore you today. You say, could God do it for me? Sure he can. He said he's not willing that any should perish. You may say, you don't know the stupid things I've said. God does, and he still loves you. Why do you think you're feeling the presence of God? Why don't you bow your head just a little bit? Brother Rick, come on, make your way up here.
As you bow your heads, I'm only going to say this once. Once I'm going to say this. During the song service, I fell in my heart. I'm not a prophet, but when he speak, I got to listen. I was doubting him. I started to stumble on the word that I heard from him today during the song service. But when I heard the message, I believe it was him who was talking to me. And I'm only going to say it once, what he said to me. He said, there's some of you here today come to hear from him. And if it be you, I want you to come to the front. I'm not going to make this call again, only one time. If it is you that come today to hear from him, come to the front. Step out your seat and come to the front. Don't be ashamed. He wouldn't lie. Come to the front. He's ready to meet you today. Just as a woman with an issue of blood who touched him and was healed. Today he's going to touch you. His word is not a lie. Stand on his promise. Come believing. As the message today is faith, I urge you to come and release your faith. Don't stay in your pews. As you heard the pastor said, today, it's today. You may be visiting. You may be here for a long time. It may be your first time you're here today. But he said he's going to touch you. God, oh God, oh God. Come. Oh, Jesus. You are the answer, Lord. Sweep over your people today, Lord Jesus, with your many blessings, oh Lord. Speak to their heart. Help them, Lord. Help us to deny ourselves and to receive you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. The solid presence of the Lord is in this house. He's all over this place. Speak to him. Cry out. Lift up your voice today. Today is the day of salvation. Oh, let him touch you. Let him touch you today. Oh, my God, my God. Have mercy.